First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective, Chapter 18, Financial Sustenance in Economic Crisis. The global economic climate is known for its volatility. History proves that widespread economic disaster affecting every nation is not a far-fetched reality. At any one point in time, many nations experience financial recession or depression. The scope and duration of these conditions are progressively increasing as financial greed and indiscipline on personal and corporate levels escalate. In these times, God has promised to faithfully care for and provide for His sons who remain loyal in their obedience to the righteous principles of His Word. We, His sons, must at all times be faithful to God's economic principles, both in seasons of economic buoyancy or economic depression. Particularly in difficult times of financial crisis, personally, nationally, or internationally, we should never stop being faithful to God's principles in respect to giving our first fruits, tithes, and offerings. Our obedience is not contingent upon positive or negative external factors, but on our internal commitment to principles and our love and obedience for God. National economic famine was often a methodology employed by God to get the attention of the nation of Israel whenever they would go away from serving Him by not adhering to His righteous principles. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8 to 17, chapter 28, verse 38 to 40. It seems that once provision dries up, people are more prone to give consideration to their sinful ways or wrong priorities, and are more inclined to repent and seek restoration with God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 35 to 40. Haggai chapter 1 and 2. When God stops supply, people turn to Him. At times, if we, in our personal lives, experience sustained and serious economic lack resulting from our willful and flagrant disobedience to God generally, not just financially, we should stop and take time to assess our relationship with God. We should draw closer to Him and adjust our behavior to a more intense and sustained pattern of obedience to His Word. On another level, at times we, the church, will have to go through significant economic depressions, which are initiated by God in a particular region because He, as He has done with the ancient nation of Israel, is shaking systems, including the economy, as part of His overall judgment. There is a divinely initiated global shaking when these times occur. Read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 to 28. During these times, God is faithful to take care of His sons who are faithful to Him, while He is judging the worldly context in which they live. At God's leading, Elijah pronounced an economic famine on Israel before King Ahab, a famine that lasted 3.5 years. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except at my word. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. This was part of God's judgment upon wicked King Ahab and unfaithful Israel. But Elijah himself, together with 7,000 others of the people of Israel, were faithful to the Lord God. All those who lived in Israel would have had to endure the ravaging effects of the famine. God's faithful people needed to understand that this famine was not because of them. It had nothing to do with them. But God was judging a wicked leader and a wicked religious system. They could not even pray against the famine or ask for rain, for that would have been counterproductive to God's will. Yet, God took care of the faithful who had to go through a famine that He initiated. This is evidenced in the record of how God took care of and adequately provided for Elijah, a widow, and her son. This widow obeyed God in the famine by giving of her substance first to honor God represented in Elijah. To me, this was a powerful example of one who seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And indeed, all things were added to her. Take the time to read this scriptural passage meditatively. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. Note that Elijah requested to be given the piece of bread first. This symbolically alludes to the first fruits principle, honoring Elijah first by giving him first the bread that she had made, secured for her an unending supply of flour and oil throughout the 3.5-year famine. The observation of first fruits practice will immunize you from lack in times of economic recession or economic depression. This is another powerful example of how seasons of economic hard times are not justifiable reasons to stop one's obedience in giving first fruits, tithes, and offerings. Many argue that they cannot afford to give. The truth is, you cannot afford not to give. Giving is God's methodology to wean you off dependency on this world's system and principles, or your ingenuity or opinion, and to implicitly trust God, your Father. This widow had to abandon her plan of using her last flour and oil to make bread for her and her son. Even in her own words, if she did so, ultimately after eating, they would have both perished, since it was her last. But she obeyed God in using her last meal and flour to make bread to honor Elijah. And she did this first. When you offer your last as first to God, God will place you first in receipt of His favor and blessings. No person who places God first in all things will be placed last on His agenda. Note in verse 9 that God informs Elijah that he had already commanded the widow to feed him. When she encountered Elijah, it was no surprise to her that he asked her to make bread for him. This woman did not reveal to Elijah that God had instructed her to feed him. Instead, being gripped by fear, she immediately discounts her ability to adequately feed Elijah as well as herself and her son. Verse 12. In getting her to obey what God originally instructed her to do, Elijah challenges her not to fear, because fear prevented her from responding in faith and obedience to the word of the Lord to feed Elijah. Whenever God speaks to us to give financially and otherwise to His servants or His work, we must not consult with our resources to determine whether we will obey. We must, in simple faith, obey what the Lord directs us to give, and this becomes the catalyst that ignites a perpetual supply for us, especially in times of famine or economic recession. Because of her ultimate obedience in feeding Elijah first, she is sustained throughout the famine, her flour and oil never ceasing. The paralysis produced by fear that results in disobedience must be overcome by faithful obedience. Banish all fear and give in faith in obedience to His word. So, release your finances in faith. An important principle of faith is that it is not based on sight. In brackets, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Or on physical circumstances, but only on the word or promise of God. Faith involves sight into the eternal unseen realm. Spiritual unseen realities prompt faith to obey God. It is not influenced by earthly or natural considerations. When adverse personal, national, or international economic conditions militate against our giving to God, we must not be governed nor dictated to by it. Do not permit your spiritual condition and behavior to be altered by and acclimatized to earthly, natural considerations. First fruits are to be administrated without fear of dire economic conditions, but in strong faith and obedience, prompted by a deep love and honor for God, the source of all provision, preservation, and protection. The next chapter deals briefly with overcoming financial fear. Honor accesses divine intelligence and wisdom for economic crises. Those who are faithful in observing God's kingdom financial principles will be preserved in economic crisis. You will come through it, and God's purposes attendant for your life will not be compromised, but will accentuate. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37, is the well-known account of the Shunammite woman who displayed noteworthy honor toward Elisha, who often frequented her city, Shunem. She built a fully furnished upper room for him to lodge whenever he came into the city. This demonstrated her high levels of honor for the man of God. She elevated Elisha in her mind, according him great value in his representation of God in their lives and in the city. She brought structural adjustment to her home by building him an upper room, radically altering the architecture and structure of her home. Speaks to the permanence of her internal disposition of honor towards Elisha. This was not momentary or fleeting, but an abiding characteristic feature in her and her family's life. She placed high premium and value on the one who carried and stewarded God's grace, positioning him above her and not below her. Dr. Segi Govender teaches, grace flows gravitationally downward. This woman became the recipient of significant grace. The building of the upper room for Elisha is not first fruits per se, but could be symbolically representative of first fruits in that, number one, it reflected honor for Elisha, and honor and first fruits are inseparable. Number two, she was the first person in the city of Shunem to respond honorably in this way. Number three, her womb was supernaturally opened and God gave her a son, her firstborn. Number four, she was the first to be informed of an impending 7-year economic famine. God's nature as a preserver was evoked upon her personal experience. She was not just informed of the looming famine, but was given wisdom as to what to do to survive the famine. She received divine intelligence and divine wisdom. Further to this, she supernaturally received favor from the king after the famine was concluded. Her property was restored to her. She also received from the king all the profit she would have received had there not been a famine. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. All this blessing was as a result of her ministering financially and practically to Elisha and his servant. God protects and preserves givers. He provides adequately for their long-term sustainability. Reflect. Point one, Financial giving must be upheld, even in times of economic crisis. Have you been consistent in your giving despite economic circumstances? Point two. God's expectations on us are never designed to disadvantage us in any way, but to benefit us. Even if by all natural reckoning, an obedient action might seem to threaten our well-being. Have you ever experienced this in respect to God's principles of financial giving of first fruits, tithes, or offerings? What has been your experience as you resolved to obey God anyway?